طيب الإمام الطحاوي رحمه الله تعالى continues now to say والإيمان واحد وأهله في أصله سواء والتفاضل بينهم بالخشية والتقى ومخالفة الهوى. The meaning is that belief at the essence is the same for all believers. What do we mean by that? In other words, we mean you can either be a believer or you can be a disbeliever. In other words, you have the La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Either you believe in it or you disbelieve in it. And a partial belief is disbelief, really. You see? So everybody is equal from the essence of belief. But then their iman may be increased or may their iman may decrease. Their iman may increase so they can go to Jannah, and their iman may decrease so they can invalidate La ilaha illallah and go to Nar. And then he says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَطْوَعُهُمْ وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And this is beautiful. The reason it's beautiful because it explains one thing. It says, all the believers, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَنِ. All the believers are awliya of Allah. So you are all awliya. So don't, you know, you go to visit your friend, you're visiting a wali of Allah. Because you're all awliya. Al-mu'min, every mu'min is wali of Allah. طيب. Of course, then Tahaw says, وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. But the most honorable, there's difference in honors now. Those who are honorables, those who are most obedient and most adherent to the Qur'an. And that's the difference now between the normal believer and the pious believer who is a true wali. This is wilaya amma, of course. There's wilaya amma and wilaya khassa. Wilaya amma is everybody. All the believers are, we have wilaya amma. They're all awliya ar-Rahman. And then he says, وَالْإِيمَانُ هُوَ الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ حُلْوُهِ وَمُرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is basically the articles of iman, that you believe in Allah, His angels, His messengers, the books that were revealed, Al-Qadha wal-Qadar, good and bad, everything is from Allah Jalla wa'ala. And now he says, وَأَهْلُ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي النَّارِ لَا يُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا مَاتُوا وَهُمْ مُوَحِّدُونَ. In other words, the ummah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we believe that if someone believes in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, and did not invalidate it through his lifetime or her lifetime, they shall be saved. They will attain salvation in the day of judgment. If they said La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, and did not invalidate it. Now, how can you invalidate La ilaha illallah? You didn't invalidate. How do you invalidate La ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah is said. Everybody says it. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Every time you say it. Very good. But here's another misconception. We believe that it's a given right. Everybody is Muslim. I am a Muslim. I'll always be like that. It's a birth given right. Once you're born Muslim, you'll always be Muslim and that's it. But that's not how it is. And La ilaha illallah has conditions. And if these conditions are not fulfilled, then you may invalidate it and people become non-Muslims immediately without knowing or knowingly. For example, here is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, narrated by Sahih Muslim Bukhari. إِنَ الْعَبْدَ لَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحْ كَافِرًا وَيُصْبِحْ كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. This hadith sahih tells us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, there will be time where people in the morning they are Muslims, by the time the night comes they become kuffar. The same people. And other people during the night, they are kuffar, in the morning they become Muslims. Therefore, you know, when we say, we ask Allah, good end, al-khitam, say, oh Allah, husn al-khitam. Husn al-khitam, what does it mean? So you have good end. Because you don't know what will happen. So, then, how can people invalidate la ilaha illallah? Through three things. And this is called ridda, or blasphemy, kufr. Ridda means reject or invalidating la ilaha illallah, really. What ridda means, ridda is invalidating la ilaha illallah. May Allah keep us steadfast on this testification of Islam. Tayyib. You, or inshallah not you, but one can invalidate la ilaha illallah through three ways. The first way is ridda qawliya. Ridda qawliya, it means ridda utterance, through the words. One can invalidate la ilaha illallah through words he or she utters. And here's an example that's very common. A group of people coming together, and all of a sudden, we have jokes about the Day of Judgment. And they make jokes about Jibreel, about Israel, about Mikael, and about the Day of Judgment, and how things will be. Make jokes about one of the prophets, you know, things that's funny. Make joke about an ayah in the Quran, or use it in a disrespectful manner. Make a joke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any of the books. Any joke, you know, people sit together and they start making jokes. Ah, they think it's funny. The Day of Judgment, this will happen. Or this will take them immediately out of the boundaries of Islam into the boundaries of kufr. Whether they know what the consequences of their joke or they don't know, it doesn't make any difference. And here's the proof. So you don't tell me, why are you talking like that? I'm not talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبِ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَا يَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. Allah says, if you ask them in the Day of Judgment, if you ask them, لَا يَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. نَلْعَب means we were playing. Oh Allah, we were just joking and playing around. Allah says, if you ask them in the Day of Judgment, they'll say, oh Allah, we were just playing around and joking. We did not mean that. Allah says, أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. You were making jokes, and you were making fun, and you were being playful around Allah. وَآيَاتِهِ and His ayah, and His messengers. You were making jokes about that. لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't bring any excuses. You became kuffar after you were mu'mins. هذا الدين عزيز. This deen is honorable. It's not for you to joke. It's unbelievable that I was sitting in a place and one man committed blasphemy, وَعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى, by making a joke about something like that, Day of Judgment. And I asked him, would you like me to make jokes about your mother? He says, I would kill you. I said, subhanAllah, so you love your mother more than you love Allah. Do you honor your mother more than you honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this how it is? It's a matter of kufr, dear brothers and sisters. Very explicit in the Quran. One word in the hadith may take one from Islam into kufr. Ridda qawliya, things that you say. The second kind is ridda fi'liyah, which means blasphemy by actions. Take the Quran, throw it in the trash. Becomes immediately kafir, blasphemer, immediately. Disrespecting the book of Allah. Taking things of the names of Allah in them also, throwing them in the filth. Don't have to say anything, don't have to believe anything, but that action takes that person out of Islam, out of the folds of Islam, into the folds of kufr. Second kind of ridda. Third kind of ridda now. Ridda i'tiqadiyya. Ridda i'tiqadiyya. Which means invalidating the testification of faith by matters of belief. Among them, someone who, for example, believes Allah is light. هذا مشرك كافر. He believes in the creation because Allah created the light. Light is a creation of Allah. Okay. Someone believes Allah looks like a man, is a body. Someone believes Allah is designated with a place, with a space. Allah is an idol. Allah is a sun, moon. All these blasphemous beliefs, basically. Any of these beliefs. Or Allah has associations, whether it's things or partners or whatever it is. This is ridda i'tiqadiyya. He doesn't have to say him. Doesn't have to do anything. Just to believe in them. That belief immediately takes that person who believes it out of the folds of Islam into the folds of blasphemy. Now, the three kinds of ridda, you should know very well, so you can avoid. What is then, let's say, the ruling on a murtad? Someone who invalidated La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in, for example, an Islamic state. Number one, even in an non-Islamic state, this applies. If he is married, his marriage is immediately void. Immediately void. The minute he said that joke, or the minute he did something, they dropped the Quran like that, threw it in the trash, وَلْيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, or the minute he believed Allah is like a body or a place or something like that, or Allah has partners or has sons and kids and family and all these things, immediately his wife is divorced. If he continues with his wife, of course, this is all adultery. And if he has kids after that, it's all adultery, kids of adultery, and etc., etc. Number one. Number two, if he dies, of course, there's many other sentences, we can't really go through the whole thing, but if he dies, or if his parents die, or anybody that can give him inheritance, he cannot inherit a Muslim. He's no longer a Muslim. You cannot say assalamu alaikum to him anymore. Number three, if he dies, he should not be washed, prayed upon, put around the garments, the kafan, no takfeen for him either, and cannot be buried in an Islamic barrier. And the scholars, and that's unanimously, said that he would be buried, sent elsewhere, out of the Muslim barriers. But that's not the only thing. He will never enter Jannah and will never smell it, even if he was praying to Allah 70 years of his life. If someone was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 years of his life, never sinned, never did anything, and 2 days before he died, he committed invalidating of La ilaha illallah, either with belief or with actions or with words, and died on that, would go to Jahannam everlastingly with no chance for parole. Because Allah said so. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرَ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah does not forgive blasphemy. Everything else can be forgiven. Now, then what if this person, after he said that joke, which entails kufr. Not every joke entails kufr. That's why I'm not telling you these things so you can judge other people. I'm telling you these things so you can avoid saying these things. Not so you can judge others. Okay. Because we're not at the we have to accumulate much more knowledge before we can make judgments like that. Dangerous judgments like that. But someone, after he made that joke, said, oh, he felt, I'm sorry, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Does that help? No. This person has departed the circle of Islam, became now what we call murtad. This person, in order for him to come back into Islam, he must do two things. Number one, must say the testification of faith of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But not only like that, it must be accompanied with the intention to enter Islam again. Therefore, if someone says, well, he prays after this, and in his prayers he said, La ilaha illallah, that doesn't count because he is out of Islam. He must enter Islam, and that can only be done through the niyyah. Because innama al-a'mal bin niyyat. Without the niyyah, it doesn't help him. Because if you have a Majusi, or Yahudi, or Nasrani, and he prays all the time, he prays like you, but doesn't have the intention to enter Islam, does that count? Same judgment. And this is how dangerous blasphemy is, and this is how dangerous, of course, the situation, very grave, that people may live their entire year, 60, 70 years, worshipping Allah, and ignorantly they make one mistake. Then we say, some people say, Sallu ala Rasulullah wa alayhi. And a second time, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. And the third is a charm. Then someone might say, well, you know, this is too harsh. It's too tough, too difficult. I don't know. How can Allah account me if I don't know? I'm ignorant. I don't know what the consequences of this joke is. Well, guess what? You should have known. Allah put you on this earth so you at least know how to stay, remain steadfast on His deen. That's the most important thing. It takes you 5 minutes of attention. So you should have known. And there's an ayah in the Quran for that as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
قال أكذبتم بآياتي ولم تحيطوا بها علما أماذا كنتم تعملون
أكذبتم بآياتي ولم تحيطوا بها علما أماذا كنتم تعملون. Allah asked those people on the day of judgment, did you belie my ayah? كذبتم بآياتي ولم تحيطوا بها علما, and you did not acquire knowledge of it. أَمَّاذَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. What were you doing then? Allah asked. What were you doing? Oh, Allah was working for IBM. Work for IBM. Tell IBM to save you now. Huh? Oh, Allah was busy. Oh, Allah was doing this. This is your deen. And if you seriously have these sincere intentions for your deen, then you better display them. And not display them only by looks, and display them by words. You better display them by actions as well, and by beliefs. And imagine, let me say this. Sallu ala Rasulullah. If the one who was ignorant would be excused, what would that mean? Think about it. If you're ignorant, if I'm ignorant, and whatever I do, I'm excused, Allah would not charge me because, well, I didn't know. Oh, Allah, I didn't know. Oh, okay, if you didn't know, that's fine. Then ignorance would be better than knowledge. Much better than knowledge. Why would I know anything? I'd always remain ignorant because if I know, I'd be accountable. And if I didn't know, then I wouldn't have to do anything. I'll be okay. Then ignorance would be better than knowledge. And Allah says knowledge is better than ignorance. Does that make sense? Quran, it's all Quran.
More than that. So you say, some of us say, well, you know, my mother is 89 years old, and my grandfather is 170 years old.
How can I teach them these things? There's no 170, maybe. May Allah give you 170 years to live. But how can they learn? They're too old. Let me tell you something about this community. Tayyib. Make ways for the Shaykh, inshaAllah. JazakAllah khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. طيب صلوا على رسول الله وعلي. Someone might say, my parents are old. I am old. Or someone can say, they are unlearned. They're illiterate. How can you teach them these things? I got some news for you. As-Sahaba radiallahu anhum, do you think they were old, 19 years old, out of college? When they became Muslims? They were the old. Many of them was illiterate, totally illiterate, didn't know anything. Was living with sheep all his life. Many of them were women. Many of them were old and sick. Many of them from were different nationalities. Bilal al-Habashi, from Habasha. So you don't say everyone is Arab. No. Bilal al-Habashi. Suhaib al-Rumi. He was from Rome. Salman al-Farisi. From Faris. I mean, you have all the kinds of nationalities right there. And all these people, whether they were males, females, old, young, they didn't all become scholars. And no one is asking everyone to become scholars. It would be nice. But no one is asking everyone to become scholars. But they knew what they must do and they want how to get by knowing the obligatory Islamic information. Al-ilm al-ayni or ilm al-fara'id. They knew this. This is what I must know. I must know what about my aqidah. What makes it valid, what makes it invalid. Okay, I know. I must know about my prayers. What makes my prayers valid? What makes my prayers invalid? I know. Siyam. What makes my siyam valid? What makes my siyam invalid? I know. Very roughly, a few lines. Everyone has really only a few lines only. What makes my zakah valid? What makes my zakah invalid? How can I give zakah? I know. Hajj. How can I do that? Because until now, in Ramadan, when I teach, is that, does that break my fast? What? Now you should have known that long time ago. And therefore now, that same thing applies to Tawheed. And because Arkan al-Islam 5, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Salah, Siyam, Zakah, Hajj. And all these 5 things, you have to know what makes them valid and what invalidates them, what makes them invalid. And we don't. That's the basic things. That's what a layman is. A layman is a man who knows what makes these 5 things valid and invalid. But sometimes we don't even know what makes our Tawheed valid and invalid. And the problem is, in Salah and Siyam, what makes it invalid may make that prayer invalid and not accountable, and you might be punished for it. But if you invalidate Tawheed, that person might go into Jahannam everlastingly and never come out of it. But Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, ونرى الصلاة خلف كل بر وفاجر من أهل القبلة ونصلي على من مات منهم. In other words, he said, this is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we see it valid, to pray behind anyone who says he's a Muslim, whether he is pious or a sinner. Now remember, being valid is different than being encouraged. Imam Tahawi didn't say it is encouraged to pray behind anybody. But he said it is valid to pray behind those who are sinners and non-sinners alike. More than that, he says, وَلَا نُنْزِلُ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ جَنَّةً وَلَا نَارًا. And we do not say definitively, this person is going to Jannah. Whoever he is. Unless those who the Prophet ﷺ said they're going to Jannah. Those we say they're going to Jannah. And they are the 10. Who are the ten? Who can say them? Bismillah.
Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Uthman, Ali, Talha, Az-Zubair, Sa'd, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Who? Huh? Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. Huh? Wasa'id ibn Zayd. He mentioned Talha. Barakallahu feek. So that's these are the ten. We say, the Prophet said, you're going to Jannah. We say, they're going to Jannah. Now, they say, this is this very pious man in somewhere. Inshallah, he will go to Jannah. But definitely, we don't know. And the same thing, he says, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكُفْرٍ وَلَا بِشِرْكٍ وَلَا بِنِفَاقٍ مَا لَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ. In other words, we do not call people, you are mushriks, or you are kafir, or you are munafiq. This is very dangerous. Because the hadith in Sahih Muslim is very, very clear. And here's what the Prophet ﷺ said, and you should memorize the hadith, مَنْ قَالَ لِأَخِيهِ يَا كَافِرْ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا. Which means, whoever calls his fellow Muslim, يَا كَافِرْ, then one of them is going to become kafir. Either that one is actually truly his kafir, or that person who called him kafir ignorantly became kafir himself. Don't risk your deen for nobody. Don't risk your status for nobody. If someone says something that's not very explicit, that cannot accept any interpretation, then just say, I think this is wrong, I don't know exactly what it is, I'm staying away from this. If it's very explicit, then you say, this is kufr, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. But the best thing for you, if you don't know, and at this point, many of you are still beginners in the science, then you need to, something wrong, you feel that's going wrong, I'm sorry, I think this is wrong, so I'm not gonna, you don't make any judgment. Because making judgments, that's a problem. But if people display kufr, and display shirk, and display nifaq very explicitly, then you are supposed to say and judge as such, and their hearts are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not our job. Our job is not to judge people's hearts. We can't do that. Allah judges that. We judge by what we see. Of course, here he says, Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, وَلَا نَرَى السَّيْفَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْفِ. It means we do not see nor do we approve the killing of any human of the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ unless he is deserving or worthy of this. ونتبعوا السنة والجماعة ونجتنبوا الشذوذ والخلاف والفرقة. And this is beautiful, and in which Tahawi rahimahullah says we follow the sunnah and the jama'ah. We follow the sunnah and the jama'ah. Which jama'ah? Which jama'ah should we follow? Now we can all form here different jama'ahs. So we can say, I should follow this jama'ah, and I should follow that jama'ah, and I follow this jama'ah. We follow the jama'ah that is on haqq, that is evidenced by the book and the sunnah. And that's why we follow the book and the sunnah. And the book and the sunnah are very obvious, very clear. وَنُحِبُّ أَهْلَ الْعَدْلِ وَالْأَمَانَةِ وَنَبْغُضُ أَهْلَ الْجُورِ وَالْخِيَانَةِ. We love the people of adl, of just and trustworthiness. And we dislike the actions of those who are not just and not trustworthy. وَنَقُولُ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ فِي مَا اشْتَبَهَ عَلَيْنَا عِلْمُهُ. And Tahawi rahimahullah says, and this is very important, when our knowledge about something is unclear, we say Allah knows best. And guess what time is our knowledge unclear? All the time. Basically, most of, you know, Allah knows best in everything. Even the thing that you know most very clearly, Allah knows best still. And therefore, you see many of the old scholars, every time they answer, at the end of the answer, even though they're probably very sure about what they said, but Allah knows best. That's the old. They gave you all the ways and everything around the issue. They still say Allah knows best.
And Allah knows best in things that are clear to us and the things are not clear to us. طيب. And then Tahawi رحمه الله says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْكِرَامِ الْكَاتِبِينَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَهُمْ عَلَيْنَا حَافِظِينَ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ الْمُوَكَّلِ بِقَبْضِ أَرْوَاحِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Which means we believe in those two angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to observe us. And we believe in the angel who's responsible to take our souls away from our bodies. Very clear, very explicit. And we also believe in the punishment in the grave for those who deserve it. So Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are distinguished also in that, that we believe that there is punishment in the grave for those who deserve it. And of course, the su'al of munkar wa nakir. And what is narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, وَالْقَبْرُ رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَضِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِنْ حُفَرِ النِّيرَانِ. Al-qabr can either be a rawda, like a very peaceful place of Jannah, or it could be a very tormented place, very hardship, or place full of hardship, like Nar. May Allah save us from that. Of course, then he says, نُؤْمِنُ بِالْبَعْثِ, we believe in the resurrection, and the judgment, and the reward, and the punishment, and as-sirat, and al-mizan. These things are very clear, obvious. We don't have time to go into explaining and evidencing every single one of them. Inshallah, some other time. And then Tahawi says, وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ مَخْلُوقَتَانِ. Al-Jannah wal-Nar exists right now. Jannah exists right now, and Nar exists right now. And after the Day of Judgment, they will never perish. They are there everlastingly by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to be as such. Not because of themselves. Allah, Allah. I think we talked about the kasb here before. But a point here that Tahawi rahimahullah brings, وَلَمْ يُكَلِّفُهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَّا مَا يَطِيقُونَ وَلَا يَطِيقُونَ إِلَّا مَا كَلَّفَهُمْ. In other words, the meaning here is that Allah gave us commands and orders. You have to pray, you have to fast, you have to do zakah, you have to do these things. Al-Tahawi says, the belief of Al-Sunnah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has charged people with what they are capable of doing, not with things that are they are incapable of doing. In other words, if I was to charge you of something that you are incapable of doing, that would be that would not be just. Would be injustice. Because you can't do it. It's impossible for you to do it. So, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And therefore, He charged us with things that we perfectly and very comfortably can do. So we don't say, well, we don't have time, we don't have this, and all that. And this is a tafsir, Tahawi says, this is a tafsir of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla means that there is no prevention from doing sins except by if Allah empowers you. And there is no power to do good except if Allah empowers you. This is what لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله means. لا حول عن معصية ولا قوة على طاعة. That you cannot avoid معصية unless Allah strengthen you. And you cannot do طاعة unless Allah strengthen you. Therefore, لا حول ولا قوة, you say, always when something happens, you say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. And Tahawi says here, رحمه الله, صلوا على رسول الله وآله. وفي دعاء الأحياء وصدقاتهم منفعة للأموات والله تعالى يستجيب الدعوات ويقضي الحاجات. In the Ahya, those of you that are alive, that are still living, may Allah prolong your life and make it very pious life. Two things, your deceased, your predecessors, can benefit you from. Sadaqat and dua. And Allah is the one who accepts. So therefore, those of you who have fathers who passed away, those of you who have grandfathers that passed away, those of you who have grandmothers that passed away, relatives that passed away, please make dua. Take a time in the day, just at least one time, 1 second every day. 1 second. Can you do that 1 second every day? At the time, let's say, of Maghrib. Say, oh Allah, please forgive my grandfather. If you don't remember to say that, your kids will forget you. So if you don't want to do it for good reasons, do it for selfish reasons. I'm trying to do the trick here. I don't know if it's working. Okay. If you don't want to do it because you love your grandfather that much that you can give him 1 second a day only. Or your father. You can give him 1 second every day. Only 1 second. Allah forgive him. 1 second. Oh Allah, please forgive him. He needs your dua. Subhanallah, ya akhi. He needs you. Now when you needed him, he gave you the money, told you to go to college, you lived in his house, you ate food, you did this, it's okay. But now when he needs you most, you don't care about him. Huh? Let's think about this. Now they need you most. Your grandparents, if they passed away, they need you most now when they're dead. Not when they were alive. When they're alive, they didn't need you. And if your parents passed away, then they need you as well. Make it a minute every day. 1 second, say, oh Allah, forgive my father, forgive my grandfather, forgive my mother, forgive my grandmother. Oh Allah, gather him with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assemble us all with the Prophet in the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Make sadaqat on their behalf. Akhi, donate 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds on behalf of your father. What's wrong with that? He gave you so much money. He spent his life for you. Now you can, you know, 100 pounds is too much for him? It's like you're giving him money. Don't you want to give your father money? If he was alive, would you give him money? How much money would you give him every month if he was alive? Think of him as he is alive and give him money every month for the sake of Allah. Say, oh Allah, this is his share. He gets salary from me. 200 pounds every month. This is, he is dead, but this is in his name for you. Oh Allah, give him the sawab. Then your father appreciates. This is, I left a good son. But you know, you can't say I'm a good son and you don't do anything about it. So many things, please do these things. I urge you and myself to do that. And then Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَغْضَبُ وَيَرْضَى لَكَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْوَرَىٰ. Which means Allah Jalla wa'ala is attributed with being pleased or angered, but not in the same way that the creation does. Why? Because the anger in the creation is basically a physiological and a psychological state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of psychology and physiology. But He's attributed with being pleased or being angered in a manner we don't know. And then Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَنُحِبُّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَا نُفَرِّطُ فِي حُبِّ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ وَنَبْغُضُ مَنْ يَبْغُضُهُمْ وَبِغَيْرِ الْخَيْرِ يَذْكُرُهُمْ وَلَا نَذْكُرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ وَحُبُّهُمْ دِينًا وَإِيمَانًا وَإِحْسَانًا وَبُغْضُهُمْ كُفْرًا وَنِفَاقًا وَطُغْيَانًا. This is all about the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. And basically الطحاوي رحمه الله said, we love in general, in their entirety, all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not go into extreme in loving any of them or in hating any of them. Be careful. And that's exactly happened. To who? Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib particularly. Al-Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu wa arda wa karama wajha had two kinds of people. People that went and said, you are God. They said that. And he sent them Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he went and says to them, what do you think he's God? They said, he's God. So Sayyidina Ali said, وَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ الْأَمْرَ أَمْرًا مُنْكَرًا أَجَّجْتُ نَارِ وَدَعَوْتُ قَنْبَرًا. Do you know who Qanbar? Imam Qanbar radiyallahu anhu. Wallahi, Imam Qanbar, Imam. You know, Imam Qanbar by himself is a university for the world. That's the slave of Sayyidina Ali. He said, so Sayyidina Ali sent Ibn Abbas, told them, make that fire. Put them in the fire and burnt them. And while they were burning, they said, now we believe that you are Allah because no one burns in fire but the Lord of fire. So some people said, no, he's a prophet. Some people said, Jibreel alayhi salam, shuf. Jibreel was not trustworthy enough. He made a mistake. Instead of going to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of going to Ali ibn Abi Talib, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. How Allah says, Ar-Ruh al-Amin, Amin, trustworthy, they say that he's not trustworthy. You see how a contradiction goes? No. Now, so some people went extreme in Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda. And some people went extreme on the other side and they cursed him. Sayyidina Ali was being cursed 80 years. After every salah, before they make prayer, especially in Jumu'ah, Imam al-Suyuti radiallahu anhu says in his book that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib was cursed in 70,000 members in the Ummah for 80 years. 70,000 places. So both these things are wrong. So we love the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their entirety. We dislike those who dislike them. We don't go extreme in either. Going so extreme that we say, or some, like some said, they were a prophet, he was a prophet, or going extreme to denouncing them. Because denouncing them is kufr, wa nifaq, wa tughyan, wa liyadu billah. And then Tahawi rahimahullah said, wa nuthbitu al-khilafata ba'da rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, awwalan li Abi Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, tafdilan lahu wa taqdiman ala jami'i al-umma. ثم لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه ثم لعثمان رضي الله عنه ثم لعلي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه وهم الخلفاء الراشدون والأئمة المهتدون. And the meaning of this is Imam Tahawi saying, and we confirm that after passing away of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Khilafah went first to Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, thus proving his excellence and advancement over the rest of the Muslims. And then went to Umar ibn Khattab, and then to Uthman ibn Affan, and then to Ali ibn Abi Talib. May Allah be pleased with them all. And those are the righteous khulafa, and they are the guided leaders. And then al-ashara. Al-ashara, the 10 that are giving the good tidings, we mentioned. Al-Tahawi says, we mentioned them, and we also testify that they are eligible for Jannah, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us. And then he says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ الْقَوْلَ فِي أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِ الطَّاهِرَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ دَنَسِ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِ الْمُقَدَّسِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ رَجَسِ فَقَدْ بَرِئَ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ. And no one is better but he who only speaks well of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions and his pure wives, radiyallahu anhunna, all of them, from Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu anha to Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha. This is a house of honor, and this is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And also his pious offspring, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his pure offspring, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you see, as you know in the Quran, has also purified them and gave them the blessing. So all these people have to be respected and loved as such. Allah, Allah. And then Tahawi says, وَلَا نُفَضِّلُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. In other words, we do not say that a wali is better than a nabi. We do not say a wali is better than a nabi. But we say, نَبِيٌّ وَاحِدْ أفضل من جميع الأولياء. One Nabi is better than all the أولياء. ونؤمن بما جاء من كراماتهم. الأولياء have karamas, which means what? Supernatural things that happen. We believe in that because it's in the Quran. The karama of أولياء is in the Quran. Where is it in the Quran? في سليمان عليه السلام. Remember when Sulaiman was sitting and that jinn said, I'm going to go and get you the throne, the palace of Saba, right now in a split second. That's a karama. He was in Palestine, he went to Yemen, brought it in a split second, right there in front of him. Hi, karama. طيب. And then Tahawi says, and we believe with the signs preceding the last hour, such as the Dajjal, and the descending of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and the sun coming from the west, and of course the emergence of the beast from its place, the Dabba. Of course, I wish I had more time to talk about these signs of the Day of Judgment, but we don't, unfortunately. Some other time, inshallah, we will. But it's yeah, these things coincide with the Quran, how the sun comes from the west and all these things and so. And then he says, وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا. And we do not believe any soothsayers or fortune tellers. Of course, fortune tellers. Nobody believes, nobody knows the unforeseen but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's in its entirety as such.
طيب.
And then he says, وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَاحِدٌ. And the deen of Allah, the deen that Allah accepts in earth and in heaven is one, and it is Islam. Which means tawheed, really. So those people were at the time of Musa or Nuh or Isa or Idris, not technically Muslims, though they are Muslims, but technically not. But they were on tawheed, therefore it's all the same. And this tawheed, he says, this deen, is between extremes of radicals or falling short. It's moderate. It's moderation, and it is between tashbih and ta'til. Tashbih means likening Allah to His creation, and ta'til meaning denying Allah's attributes. And this deen also is between jabr and qadar, which means jabr being forced to do something and being totally free. And of course, it is also between losing total hope in salvation and thinking that you'll always be saved. So I mean, it's always, he's trying to say, it is always a deen of moderation. And then he says, this is our faith and this is our belief as we manifest it apparently, implicitly and explicitly, and we absolve ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all those who are different from us. And then he says, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Him to keep us steadfast on the true path of belief and seal our lives with it, and that He safeguard us from all the different straying opinions and views, and they are to us wrong, and we shall be saved inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi. Bismillah ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. Of course, alhamdulillah, we flew today, we took the Concorde. But it's okay, because we don't have time really to do everything. And many of these things that I went over today, they require hours and hours of just talking about them in details. But so that is for the motivated people who want to study further, because this is just a preview. Right? So inshallah we will do that. Tomorrow we'll have the same session, but not as long. It'll probably be around an hour or 45 minutes at 8 o'clock also. And then after that the brothers are... For those of you who completed the course, I think, or missed maybe one day, they will issue you a certificate of attendance. InshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah bless you all for coming and give you and reward you for all that. And the aqidah, in the presence of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah.